Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, if you follow him on social media, you'll see the many facets of our next guest. He's an award-winning actor in the widely popular streaming series Outlander, New York Times bestselling author who will be releasing a following-up book to the Times bestseller Clanlands, Whiskey Warfare and a Scottish Adventure Like No Other. Love the title. The new book is The Clanlands Almanac. He is engaging and fun. If you watch, he and a fellow actor roam around Scotland, men in kilts. He's got some upcoming movies, a Sony film, Text for You, that's out next year. He's also got an award-winning whiskey, the Sassenach. I've tasted it. It's in the studio. It's really, really good. He's also charitable. He's My Peak Challenge, promotes a healthy lifestyle. They've raised millions for the leukemia and lymphoma charity Bloodwise, and he's here in studio. Sam Heughan, so nice to have you here with you.
Oh, it's so nice to finally meet you in person.
We did something virtually, which was a lot of fun. We made a cocktail. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very good at it, but I did get to...
it all goes down the same way, doesn't it? And tastes great. So did a great job.
So true. I said that we don't have a lot of people in studio. Our world is slowly coming back, and you said you haven't been in New York in a long time. How did the pandemic impact your world?
Yeah, I mean, I think, firstly, it's amazing to be back, and it's what great offices you have, but also in New York City, it's like, it's really a buzzing, it's alive. I haven't been in the U.S. really for the past, 2 years almost, so it's so good to be back. But yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously impacted everyone, but business-wise, more than anything, it's delayed a lot of imports and exports, especially with our whiskey.
It complicate things?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think you've maybe seen the pictures of, the container ships outside, mm-hmm. Long Beach. I think there's about 40 of them out there at the moment. Things are just really slow, globally. It's been tough. We've been challenged with the cork for our stoppers and our bottles, trying to get access
to
that.
It's a supply chain, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or just even getting a container to transport our whiskey across from the UK. So, yeah, it's been challenging.
What changes did you have to make as a result of these challenges? Did you have to raise prices? Did you have to change materials?
Or just be patient?
I think that's pretty much it. People were waiting for our next release. We released last year, and then this is our biggest release. We wanted it to be out in time for obviously the holiday season, but it's finally here. We were actually only delayed a couple of weeks, so we're pretty fortunate.
How much fun are you having with this? And tell us about taking it around and introducing it to people.
Yeah, so I'm really proud. Obviously, self-financed, self-realized, I designed everything, every aspect of the brand.
Self-finance, so you bootstrapped it all.
Yeah. So we haven't any investors. Huh. We've done it all ourselves. And as I said, it's our second round. We've won about 7 double gold medals from various awards. I'm just really proud of it. It's my baby.
Can you talk about why you bootstrapped it and chose not to bring on outside investors? Did you not want to dilute the equity?
I think so. Firstly, it is a small, limited batch release. It's hard to get our hands on enough of the product. Yeah. So we didn't need finance at the first. But then also, just to retain the rights, to retain the majority share or control of it. And as I said, it is a passion project. So I really didn't want to give anything away. There may be a time when we do look at finance.
Are people knocking on the door?
We've definitely had conversations all. And there will be a point where we want to really upscale and increase, and I think at that point investment would really help us.
Because it's interesting in the marketplace, it's a crowded marketplace, but when you can create a brand that somehow has some interesting distinction to it, and I think this one is safe to say it does also taste good, you can really move ahead. What's been the response that you're hearing? And as you, because you're meeting with people in New York and elsewhere.
Yeah, well, so we're now available in, I think about 40 states. We're working on the rest of them, and we're working on Canada as well, and Europe. It's a whiskey that I wanted people to be accessible. A lot of people don't haven't tried whiskey or don't know much about Scotch whiskey. This is a blend. There wasn't really a premium blend out there that I felt was comparable to like the Asian blends out there, which are really phenomenal. So we wanted to create something like that, modern, but also, you know, with a nod to our heritage. So we've got some great malt whiskey in here. And yeah, I think people's reaction has been really, really positive.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Sam Heughan still with us, of course, of Outlander fame. And we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. But we did want to talk to you a little bit about what's it like on the set? Because it looks like you guys have just an incredible group of people.
It is, yeah. We've been obviously on the show now almost, I think, about 8 years. We're in our sixth season is about to come out. And it really, it's we're this sort of real core ensemble of actors. And it's been good. I mean, this was the hardest year, definitely, you know, with obviously COVID situation, but also we were shooting in winter.
Right.
It was tough. I mean, it was really difficult, but a really strong season. And I think that's what brings you, or gets you through something like that. You know, your sort of friendship and your bonds, and with the crew as well, you know, it's like one big family.
What are the COVID protocols and how is it different this season than it was in previous seasons before we were talking about COVID each and every day?
Yeah, you know, so I worked on a movie as well during COVID, a movie called Text for You. Also, Men in Kilts shows, we were one of the first shows to shoot in the UK with the COVID protocols. For Outlander, it was different because it's such a big show. You know, we have so many extras, we're out in Scotland, so it did delay us by a number of months. But the protocols, you know, everyone was tested every day. We actually had a testing center in the production offices, which was amazing. They could do a rapid test, so you get tested every morning. We had bubbles.
You did have bubbles, right? This is what we heard from when we were talking as stuff came back.
So basically different, depending on sort of your level or what your function is on set, you would then be in allocated a certain bubble.
What I really want to know, when you drink whiskey on the set, are you drinking real whiskey?
Absolutely, of course, all the time. Yeah.
I don't believe you. Wait a minute. You and I were talking, we were talking around the table here about your brand, the Sassenach. So is there more to come? Are you going to expand this?
Yeah. You put me on the spot. Yeah, well, you know, obviously.
You could say no.
Absolutely. You know, our tagline is unique spirits. So we are looking, you know, around the world for, you know, unique opportunities and really just shining the spotlight on, you know, great producers and collaborating with other people. So, but, you know, obviously the whiskey is our main priority. It's our first spirit. And we really want to establish that and let that grow as well.
Are you going? Oh.
What else? Well, I'm just wondering what one last one on the spirit. What else gets your attention?
We're a little obsessed.
In the spirits industry right now.
Oh, I mean, there's just, you know, I mean, the explosion of tequila obviously is really interesting. I've spent a lot of time over in Tequila Town, which is a really fun place. But, you know, you even look in the UK, I mean, gin is really big. It's kind of almost overpopulated now. But yeah, I'm really interested in just like these small producers. I mean, mezcal is just fascinating, you know, and it's hard for them to upscale. So I'd love to go to Oaxaca and spend a bit of time there.
How long do you think you might hold on to the brand before maybe something, you know, we talk about people being interested and we know certainly some of the bigger brands are always looking for new players, new entries. Mm. Do you think that the end game is that ultimately it becomes part of somebody's portfolio?
To be honest, I don't know. It's obviously very close to my heart. I poured so much of myself into this, so I want to retain it.
Okay.
But who knows in the future where that could go.
So let's talk about some of the other projects that you're working on. Mm. What is it like to either have a director reach out to you or a producer? Is it virtual still or is things getting back to normal?
Yeah, it is. It is still kind of virtual. I just shot a TV show in the UK called Suspect, and that was all predominantly, you know, the read-through was done via Zoom calls, which is, it is quite challenging, but it's great. You know, we're getting back on our feet. The movie TV industry is really, really flourishing at the moment. It's really busy.
It is really busy.
Yeah.
Well, we're seeing it certainly in and around New York, too.
I mean, is it the best time to be a creative right now? You not only have streaming services just duking it out for content, for talent,
right,
but you also have established companies looking to get into streaming by creating more content. I mean, we are so hungry for content.
Yeah, we are. And I think myself, I'm pitching something at the moment, and it has been mostly to streamers because that's where who have the money and who are making things. But I mean, it's also good to see that movie industry and people are going back to the movies. You know, I went to see Bond recently. It was fantastic. And
you mean like in the theater? And
yeah,
actually going
just
back.
That shared experience, which I think is something which we all miss as well. And I think hopefully, you know, also it will also have a life and we'll get people back into the movie theaters.
So Outlander, what can we expect in the new season?
Yeah, it's back early next year.
It's been
year.
A long dry spell.
It has. It's a different season. It's only 8 episodes. However, the episodes are longer. The first episode, I think, is an hour and a half. It's Outlander, so it's quite a dark season. There's a lot going on. But I'm really excited. The first episode, especially, it's pretty strong.
It's one of the interesting things I think that you guys did, and we've had a lot of conversations about how you all come together and really portray reality. Like, you don't hide some of the difficult things that go on, whether it's in a relationship or just certainly the history that was out there, and that's pretty impressive in terms of showing it and not kind of sugarcoating things.
Yeah, I think it comes down to Diana Gabaldon's books. You know, I think they're, you know, they can be pretty gritty in places.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. But I think also the show has tried not to shy away from certain subjects, and it can put us in a sticky situation. But I think we really do go into, you know, trying to portray whether it's a victim of trauma or culture, for instance, the Native Americans, which we have play a large part in our season this season.
It plays into so much kind of the world at large. If you think about the last couple of years, whether it's the pandemic or whether it's George Floyd, like things that have been in our society for such a long time, but you guys really kind of deal with that in a big way.
Yeah, but it's also showing America in its infancy, which is really interesting. I didn't know a lot of this, you know, how this all happened and, you know, the British influence, and it's fascinating. So it's just interesting that we're shooting, you know, for in Scotland for America, which is kind of crazy.
It is pretty cool. So My Peak Challenge.
Yes.
Talk to us about that, because you do a lot on social about that, and you really encourage people to challenge themselves in a lot of different ways. And it could be physical or fitness, or it could be playing the guitar or gardening or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still trying to play the guitar myself, but it's not getting any better. But no, it is. It's basically an online fitness program, but whilst helping yourself, you're also helping others. 50% of all the profits go to charity. We've raised just under $6 million now for our chosen charities.
It's impressive.
And it's just, to be honest, it's our peakers, as we call them. They are so inspiring. They have lost weight. They've made friends. They've found confidence. They've found mobility. They share, you know, their challenges, and it really is an amazing sort of support network that we have.
Hey, help us understand how you think about compartmentalizing different parts of your life, and just from a productivity perspective. When Carol was doing your intro, you know, it was like the longest intro I've ever seen.
I shared.
Like,
no, it's a lot of stuff.
Because you've done a lot of stuff, and you do a lot of stuff, and you do a lot of stuff at the same time. How do you compartmentalize it? What do you work on when? How do you keep productive?
I don't know. I don't know how it happens, but I think I'm like that. I think I just wired to, I can't really sit still. Like, if I have time off, I do like to challenge myself. And I have a brilliant business partner. I think that's pretty much it. And with a great team, you know, we have an office in Los Angeles, and I think we have about 7 members of staff now, and we're still expanding. So that's important, a good team.
How many times do you say no to things, though? And I do wonder if, like, you know, Outlander, the Sassenach whiskey, like, there's this wonderful kind of continuity in terms of things. Do you think about that when you're choosing what you want to work on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to say no, and I'm not very good at it. But
let's all say it together. No.
But it's it's just as important as things you say yes to, of course. So, there's obviously a lot of opportunities, not only in the business side, but also career-wise as well. You know, I only have a short space of time when I'm not working on Outlander, so the projects I choose have to be the right ones.
All right, we're gonna have to leave it there, unfortunately.
Thank you so much for having me.
A real pleasure.
Great to see you guys.
Yeah, great to see you, and we look forward to hearing more and following you in the future.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.